time we've started with everybody waving at you. Good afternoon and welcome back to Bay House Buzz, everybody. It might not be afternoon where you are. Does everyone say hello and good afternoon when they're doing their podcasts? Do you watch other podcasts?
No.
I said watch, listen to. Some people do it like as a video stream, don't they? You don't listen to any other podcasts. You should, it's research. Some really great podcasts out there, some really funny ones. Apparently Peter Crouch is a really good one. Do we know who Peter Crouch is?
Yes, obviously.
Who, then?
Peter Crouch.
Yes, obviously. Okay, go on then. Who is Peter Crouch? You don't know.
Was he a footballer?
He was a footballer. He used to be a goalkeeper for England. So, welcome back to Buzz, everybody. And that was a really rubbish start this week because we're all just feeling a little bit tired. Everyone's a bit jaded after Mox week. Connor was just telling me he's had lots of his back so far, all fives. Shared that with the world. How are you guys getting on? Have you had any? Sophie looks incredulous about this. How are we getting on? Have we had any back yet?
Yeah.
Happy with it? How it's going? Not so much?
I've got a bit of work to do, but other than that, I think it's all good.
Yeah, cool. Do you know what? Having work to do is a good place to be at this time of year.
I just need to revise.
Yeah. That is a start, yeah, of revising. Did you not revise this time around?
No, I did, but not as much as I should have done.
How did you revise? Did you revise effectively?
Yeah, I did like little, what they called?
Flashcards?
Thank you.
And then what did you do with those?
Kind of like set them on my mirror so I can look at them.
Yeah, that's useless. You're just reading. what we're going to do, I think before the next set of exams, we should do a revision special. And I think we might even film this one just so we can actually be live and in person and people can watch what we're doing. Because I have taught lots of different techniques. Yeah, hello, we can actually wave this time and people will see you. So I think we'll do a recorded revision special of the Buzz after Christmas. So we've all kind of had our rest and our beauty sleep. And we'll do a little record of how to use those flashcards effectively other than just sticking them on a wall. That's not going to help you. All right, I've got some really great techniques. So, other than that, we are back with a vengeance. Votes for Schools this week has been all about Parliament Week. Okay, so it is Parliament Week this week. You had an assembly last week, which you guys would have missed because of the PPEs. But it's a really important week, engaging everybody in democracy. Not quite as exciting as this time last year when we were going into an election year, but there's still been a lot of political stuff going on in the world. Obviously, Donald Trump's election over in America. Let's not get into that too deeply.
No.
Yeah, quite. And obviously, we've had a new leader elected of the Conservative Party. So they've got their new leader down, Suella Braverman. No, not Suella Braverman. What's her name? Anyone remember her name?
I don't pay attention.
No, I don't either. Well, I do, but not to this. So we've had a new... No, wait, it's gone. No, it's gone. So we've had a new... And it's actually... The one thing I do know is she's a bit of a trailblazer because she's the first female person of colour to be elected as the Conservative Party leader. So that's actually really important. It's a shame I can't remember her name. How shocking of me. I'm just going to say I'm tired. But at the moment, when we were talking about votes for schools, we were saying that should Parliament be moved around the country so it goes to lots of different locations? What was the discussion like in your tutor groups?
My whole tutor said no.
Why?
Because... Because they said London is the capital of the UK, and they think it should stay in the capital of the UK because that's where everything big should happen. That's where everything important should happen.
They've already got like the House of Commons and the House of Lords there, so it's sort of like it already should be there.
Okay.
Exactly.
So are you saying that because to move it then, not to move it permanently, but to move it around and spend six weeks in Birmingham, 6 weeks in Newcastle, 6 weeks in...
Yeah, have a place that's big enough to...
Okay, so it costs quite a lot of money as well, wouldn't it? Which we don't really have a lot of right now. We've got a big kind of cost of living crisis. Spending money, that would be a bit daft. What do you think the arguments for moving them around the country would be, though? So going to those centres of kind of population. So why would we want to bring them down here towards Portsmouth and Southampton? What would we want? Could we get out of
maybe
that?
So they can listen to younger voices.
Okay.
They can see the areas.
Yeah. Because obviously we've got an MP for our area who lives in our area. We're quite lucky that our MP actually does live near us because lots of them don't live in the area they represent. But she's still only one voice when she goes to the House of Parliament and represents us. So them coming and seeing what she's talking about and actually being in the area and witnessing what she's representing would be quite important, wouldn't it? But there's also lots of arguments against. So in terms of the votes for the school, 77% said no. So obviously 100% of your tutor group said no, but 77% of the school said no, which is quite reflective of the picture regionally, which is 80%, and then 72% nationally. So lots of people think no, which is actually different to how it was about 15, 20 years ago, when everyone was like, yeah, shift it along. shift along. Keep them moving around the rooms so they understand what's going on for us. Okay. Nice. A low population for Hot Chocolate Friday this week. Low population. They're really quiet this week because they're all munching audience, by the way. So I've got chocolate buttons being munched. I've got sausage rolls being munched. And I've got bourbons being munched. So that's why you've got my voice and no one else's, because they're all mid-munch.
Sorry, Miss, I feel really bad in front of you.
No, it's fine. I just, you know, I won't have a drink or anything. I'll just sit here. It's fine. So I would just like to, while these guys finish a mouthful and actually contribute, I would like to congratulate George Bowen and Lily Dargan, who both got Hot Chocolate Friday this week. And I have read the instance and had a little look at why they got Hot Chocolate Friday. And that's actually some really lovely moments of them being upstanders and looking after younger members of our community, which is really nice. So well done, you guys. Give a round of applause. Woo! So just two of you this week, so a quiet one.
Well, just those two.
Just those two for Hot Chocolate Friday this week.
They're both
bonkers.
Yeah,
they are.
They are.
Absolutely. So doing really good things whilst also being going through their exams and being just hardcore students of the school, you know, cracking on. Lovely, well done, really impressed. I know we've got a big thing to talk about that happened yesterday. What happened yesterday
is
that made everybody lose their teeny tiny minds?
Snow.
It's been like 6 years.
I know. How did it kind of go down for you? How did the snow go down for you?
It started when me and Laura were
in fitting, because we're talking about Christmas Carol.
Were you?
Yeah.
So you had a little bit of stage effects for your Christmas Carol lesson. Didn't it come down, though? It was absolutely hooning down with snow.
And it didn't set.
Well, it tried
and
really
everybody
hard.
Just stood
it
on the peg like this.
Which is very cute.
Snowballs were thrown.
They were. I thought they were more sort of slush packs.
Oh, yeah. I was walking a class, and someone threw in a snowball, went straight through the person. Went straight past the person they were supposed to hit it to, and then straight into me.
Which is sort of why we ask you not to do it, because you never know if your aim's any good or not. So
practice
that one, not, which is great. Yeah, it is a good practice for if it happens again. But it was lovely to sort of see your actions. Being from where I'm from, snow is a bit more common, because you get quite a bit of snow in London. I used to be in Yorkshire as well, and you've got snow all the time up there. And so I was a bit like, oh, it's only snow. And then the little tiny frozen part of my heart thawed out and went, oh, but look how happy they are. Now, sure, she got me a lesson. So
okay.
She said,
oh.
My poor year 10s, like, it started period one. One of my 10s went, oh, miss, it's snowing. Like, that voice and that level of intensity, which really freaked me out. He's never that excited in my lesson. Yeah, we were trying to watch Emancipation of Expressionism, and he was far more interested in the snow. What does that say about my teaching, is what I'm going to say. So that was it. Then the whole class was like glued to the window, and I had not a chance of getting them back, because then it was just every 30 seconds looking out of the window.
That's what happened in our maths lesson. Mother was like,
everybody got kind of a little meerkat action, just kind of was
yeah. I was in English and Mr. Jenkins went, oh my god, it's snowing. We just went,
yeah, that doesn't help when we do it. I've done that as well. When I was in school, this is a great story. When I was in school, in my French lesson taught by an Australian teacher, that was an interesting accent I came out with. She had literally never seen snow before. And one of our young people here, that was the first time he had ever seen snow. Live and in person. Obviously, he'd seen it on telly, he'd seen it in movies, but that was the first time he'd seen it in person. So that was a really magical moment for him yesterday. So my French teacher was like, she spotted snow outside the window, and she's like, she lost her mind. And she threw open the fire escape, went, come on kids, let's go outside and play. And we all went out and played in the snow. We were in year 9, but we were all like running around. It was great, really, really fun.
I was in my physics lesson yesterday and it was still snowing, there was a teacher that let her year 9s outside and they were just pegging snowballs at each other.
Yeah, that didn't really help me with my year 9s period 2 because I was not letting them outside. So my question to you is this, why is snow any different to rain? Why is it? Because that was essentially just really cold rain, which you all figured out when you came back inside and were freezing and soaked. But why do we react differently to snow than rain?
Because we don't see it as much.
Okay.
We're so used to rain.
So what's rare is beautiful.
You can do with it as well, because rain is just water. With snow, you can create with it.
It's just water, though.
But you can like build with like, the snow.
I see. Okay, what are you going to build with your snow? You've got snow. Oh. The snow is stuck. What are you going to build?
Macaulay.
Oh.
Macaulay built like a little snow. Like, you know, you've got the rails out there.
Yep.
He built a little snowman on the rails outside of
But are you going to go snowman, or are you going to build something else?
You can use snow angel.
Nice snow angel on the floor.
Oh, we did that, didn't we?
I'm a big fan of an igloo. Well, we had lots of snow when I was a bit younger, and it always felt really it was up to here. It wasn't up to there at all. and we built igloos. So we'd literally chop the snow into pats and pat it down to make it squares, and then we'd make bricks out of it and make an igloo in between two cars.
Oh, here's a story.
Oh, God.
When I was younger, we went round with Grandad's, and... it was snowing. My granddad did something really funny to my brother. He went behind him and put a lid of snow down his pants. He was running around.
I'm not sure that's funny. I think that's just a bit mean, but maybe funny for you to watch, not so much for him to enjoy. And then he's got wet pants for the afternoon. Oh, rubbish.
It was funny.
Oh, bless.
You can sit by the fire and do some s'mores.
Well, there is that, yes. But life isn't a movie and you've not usually got that sort of stuff to hand. So, we lost our minds for snow yesterday, but actually it's... I'm roasting in here today. We had to open some windows because it's so warm in here today, and it's really sunny again, so we're back into the crisp winter weather again. But nice to see a little bit of snow. It's probably the last we'll see for another 6 years.
Yeah.
But going back to the island last night, apparently there was loads of snow over there. Not a jot of it when I got there. Oh, there's a herd of elephants just running past the door. So
they keep looking inside.
They do like to see what we're up to. They're nosy about the podcast. They can't see you waving on, or they can. on purpose. So I had a lot of time with you guys earlier this week, didn't I? I saw you on Wednesday for quite a long time.
Wasn't it a long time?
It was, again, really warm in that hall. But I shared with you 7 things. Can you remember any of the 7 things I shared with your
win-win?
Win-win. What does win-win mean? Should we dial it back? So I shared with you the 7 habits of highly effective people and how you're going to use those habits to kind of recover from the PPEs. So what's win-win? Why do win-win stick? Anyone help her out?
Win-win is when...
It's about compromise, isn't it?
That's what it was. So you give something and you get something. It's a win-win for two people.
It's a win-win situation. It's about compromising. So you don't always have to have your way, and you don't have to win a situation and someone else has to lose. You can win-win. You can both win a situation.
You can compromise. Like your mum says, do your room. You're like, what if I do my room in little stages?
Yeah, can I do 20 minutes on my room and then 20 minutes on my phone? And then 20 minutes with you helping out, washing up.
Compromising. So something gets done that they want, and then you get something out of it.
That is definitely a win-win situation. So what about the first habit I shared with you about being proactive? How could we be proactive now we've got our PPE results coming in thick and fast?
Maybe think about how to improve on our results, like revising more.
Is that actually taking a step to do anything about it, though? I'm thinking about revising more. Is that going to help me?
I was thinking maybe like...
I know, we're all doomed. Sophie's been thinking again, everybody, run away.
I know, that's why I said I'm gone.
As Sophie said, revision. Like, talk to your teachers about... If you don't like your marks or your results, go talk to your teachers. Ask them what you can do better. What can you do? What apps can you use to help yourself? What apps can you use to help yourself and revise and stuff?
Yeah, good. And what is
it? Obviously, take time for yourself and your family.
Okay, we'll come back to that because we called that sharpening the sword, didn't we? So sharpening the sword, which is habit 7, is taking time for yourself and your family, looking after your physical well-being, your mental well-being, getting a good night's sleep, feeding yourself properly, so not just living off of biscuits. I swear to God, all I ever see you lot doing is eating biscuits.
They're good.
So not just, they are good, but they're not the only thing to keep you nourished and healthy. Yes, we're all pointing at Sophie.
And Kai.
So we're all sharpening the sword. So we're doing things that we're also learning skills, we're getting some exercise to make sure that we're healthy so that we are fit and ready to do our very best. So sharpening the sword is about having the best tool for the job. Okay, what about seeking first to understand and then be understood? So we're looking to understand someone else's perspective and then be understood ourselves. So how might that apply to our PPEs? How is that sense of knowing where you're coming from so that you get where I'm coming from? How does that help? Does it have to be about myself? Okay, that's cool. No, I'm sorry, that's fine. I would like you to think about your relationships with the people around you. Okay, so it might be that you've come out with a fistful of 5s, which we were talking about earlier. Okay, so far you've got a fistful of 5s, and you're like, oh, I've got all 5s. And then someone else is sitting next to you giving you the look. You know the look. That look, there you go, beautiful. Chelsea's demonstrating the look beautifully that you can't see. So the look is sort of the whole, you know what, you can stick your 5s when the sun doesn't shine and it snows, because I've sat here with a U, a 3, a 4, and a 2, and I'm feeling pretty happy with my 4, but now you're sitting there disappointed with 5s and it's making me feel bad. Remember, when you're considering how you've done, when you're looking at your targets moving forwards, consider how other people are around you. Empathise.
Yeah.
So seeking first to understand is all about empathy, okay? Putting the first things first. Putting the first things first. What's
first
that about?
First.
What is putting the first things first? Remember my pizza analogy. When the pizza arrives at the door, what do? Pay him, obviously.
Take the pizza,
pay the money. But then what? Do you eat the pizza whole?
No, you cut it.
It's already cut.
It's pre-cut.
You take
it's
the
cut.
Table.
So you take the little table out the middle, and then you take a slice. Do you eat the slice whole? Just roll it up and stuff it in?
No, you take it by bite.
So you take it step by step. So when you're taking the first thing first, you're literally doing it step by step. So if you're thinking, I've got a 2 in my PPEs, and I've got to get to a 6 because that's my target, that feels huge. Okay, so yes. By the next time you do a test, you want to aim to get a 3. And then by the next time you do a test, you want to aim to get a 4. And take little steps, because little steps are easier to take than big, long leaps. And then by the time you get to your exams, you'll be ready to go. Don't be daunted by the big picture, focus on the steps in front of you. But, another habit, begin with the end in mind.
Oh, yes.
What's that one about?
That is about setting goals for yourself. So when you achieve something, you're like, right, what can I do to get to where I really want to be?
And where are we thinking? Are we thinking next week, next month, next year? Next millennia?
Next century.
What are we thinking about? What sort of time frame are we talking? Don't mind Chelsea while she dies a little bit.
Sorry, I do apologise, guys.
What are we thinking? When we're thinking about targets, we're thinking about the beginning with the end in mind. What's the end for us right now?
The end could be anything, really, like the end of the day, what we want to do before we go to bed.
Okay.
What we want to achieve as like a job.
Good. Okay, so thinking about so when you're thinking about like your career, you've got to work backwards. We were talking last night at our senior leadership meeting about young people taking their options in year 9. Coming soon, year 9, to a school near you, your options process is about to launch. And this is where you get to take your choices, obviously. Now, some people in year 11 are suddenly discovering that they didn't take GCSE art, and to do A-level art, they needed to take GCSE art.
Yeah.
So they didn't begin with the end in mind. They just took some subjects. And it's really important that you know where you've got to get to, so you know the steps you've got to take.
Yeah.
Because if you know you want to eat pizza for dinner, there's no point in calling KFC. We're going back to my pizza analogy, right?
Yeah.
So the steps I take are ordering the pizza, waiting for the pizza, opening the door for the pizza guy, paying the pizza guy, taking the pizza, open the pizza box, take the table out, take a slice, put it on the plate, put it in my face, take a bite. But if I've phoned KFC and KFC arrives, I can't eat pizza.
No, you eat whatever you order.
I eat whatever I order. Definitely having a Zinger meal, just saying. So.
My mum has the same thing.
Your mum has taste. This is what we like. So, really important stuff. If you have an idea of where you want to go, that's the most important thing. There's no point in driving around aimlessly. All right? So, that is really all about having a sat-nav, knowing where you're going. All right? Cool. Can anyone remember what synergize meant? This was a kind of a big... Whoa, definitely heard of elephants going past the door. Metacognition comment here. Synergize, focus, folks. I know that the elephants going past the door was quite loud. What is synergize? We do this every week on the podcast. Give and take, we work together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, not exercise, synergize.
not this little dancey thing.
Connor was giving us a little bit of calisthenics, everybody. Bit of 1980s flash dance vibe exercise. So synergize is all about working together. You don't have to do this alone. Someone else will have a strength. Yeah, teamwork makes the dream work. Cheesy. Essentially, your friend will have a strength that you don't have, or you will have a strength your friend doesn't have, or your teacher has a bit of knowledge that you have a gap for. Work together. We are a team. And I said it yesterday, I talked about the triangle yesterday, yes. Wednesday. At the top is you, and we want to push you forwards. And behind you is the school and your parents, and we're the ones pushing you forwards. Let's work together and synergize. We all can work together.
You got this, Chelsea, you got this Connor, and you got this Miss Perry, and you got this Sophie.
The idea is if we all work together, we can get you where you need to go. And that's really, really important. And so let's work together. Instead of going, oh, you gave me a 3 for my paper.
The teacher didn't. It was a mark scheme.
You earned a 3 with the answers you wrote on the paper. Let's see if we can change those answers. And that's what's really important. So being proactive, again, going back all the way back around to the circle, being proactive isn't about saying, you gave me a 3. It's, I got a 3. What can I do to get a 4, a 5, a 6, a 7?
Yes.
So that was the 7 habits that's from a really, really exciting book. And we're going to be playing around with those as you go towards your exam. I'll be reminding you of steps you can take to be proactive, particularly as we go into December, because it starts to get a little bit tiring. We all start to lose our energy. Because Christmas is right around the corner. Christmas is right around the corner, as is the end of lunch break, folks. It's been lovely seeing you. Thank you for joining us on Bay House Buzz. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.